I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, April 18th, 2024 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure, on, I think what I would characterize as the United States of Groundhog Day. We're living a nightmare over and over every day, and it's pretty astonishing to witness, truly. Ideas have consequences. That's kind of where we're at and what we're going through. Commentary on Richard Weaver's Ideas Have Consequences. Brian Lenny posted on Twitter, I moved to Idaho from Southern California in 2010, and now I'm an Idaho senator. How cool is that? That's not a good sales pitch, in my humble opinion, but whatever. Brian further posted, NAMPA recognizes that ideas matter, not where your mom chose to give birth. Well, yeah, that's true, Brian. Ideas do matter. And speaking of ideas that matter, we have a constitution in this country. Allegedly, said constitution is the supreme law of the land. That's what we hear anyway. And so, speaking of other congressional shenanigans and, you know, extracurricular shenanigans, I would like to play a post on Twitter. I'm just going to call it Twitter. The URL says twitter.com/RepMattGaetz/status/long number. So I'm going to call it Twitter. X is a harbinger to, you know, it's a bad guy thing. There are a variety of esoteric symbols in the Roman numeral X that we can maybe unpack at a later date. It's probably not edifying. Before we do the before I get into the prayer and stuff, maybe we can just do this real fast, the Matt Gaetz thing. Breaking. U.S. Air Force Secretary admits that less than a third of F-35s built by Lockheed Martin are operationally capable. Pentagon has given too much power to the defense contractors and that are bilking American taxpayers. It's not going to get better unless we demand accountability. So I would like to play this clip, and then let's talk about what's wrong with this clip. What's really wrong with this clip? Can we play that, please? Are we ready? Oh, okay.
The F-35 is our signature Air Force platform. What percentage of them are fully mission capable today? Mr. Secretary.
Congressman, if you give me a second, I'm going to pull out my card and give you an exact answer.
Okay. Happy to.
Your eyes are probably better than mine. But 55% is the number we have for operational availability.
Full operationally capable. 55%
for operational availability.
Do you think that's a good number or a bad number?
I think that's not a good number.
Failing.
I wouldn't put it quite in that category. I'd ask General Alvin to comment on that. It's a number we'd like to see something.
Yeah, well, the reason I ask is because we got testimony that is a little contrary to that. Lieutenant General Schmidt, head of the F-35 program, gave testimony to the TAL subcommittee at HASC, and that testimony was that as of February of 2023, so a little over a year ago, only 29% were fully mission capable.
I think we need to talk difference between operational availability,
okay,
and mission capable.
Okay, so how many are fully mission capable today?
I do not have that number, but I would not dispute what the JPO has in front.
And so
I would look
29%. So fully mission capable, 29%. You have no basis to dispute that, but you don't really know if it's true or false.
I have no basis to dispute it, but I would like to.
So you would agree that 55% is like a D, that 29% is definitely failing, right?
For fully mission capable, but
yeah,
the missions that they can accomplish.
I go meet with the folks at the 33rd at Eglin Air Force Base in the district I represent, and they're doing a lot of, you know, there's a lot of mission there. But like even the guys who are also at Eglin doing test, they end up being at the very end, right? And I totally get why you want your operational squadrons to be the most capable, but then test gets put to the end, and then we're not meeting our needs. Like, I just think anyone watching this, one, would be surprised that you, General, don't know the exact percentage that are operationally capable. And two, I think people would be surprised that it's 29%. And this GAO report that I found on BreakingDefense.com that I seek unanimous consent to enter into the record, it says that the reason we are not capable is because you guys at the Pentagon have given too much power to Lockheed Martin and its subcontractors for sustainment. Do you believe Lockheed Martin has been given too much power on the sustainment of the F-35?
I believe that Lockheed Martin has more power than in some other weapon systems. They do have the contracted logistics system that was part of the procurement plan that was put in place 20 or some years ago.
Well, right. I mean, but it's not working. If the Lockheed Martin built the F-35, we only can, only 29% of them are fully operationally capable right now. We've all agreed that's failing. So now the question is, why is it failing? And this GAO report says the reason it's failing is because the fox is watching the hen house. Because the very contractor bilking the taxpayer for this platform is now in a position where they can't sustain it. Do you have a basis to disagree with that conclusion?
I have a long history with the F-35. And I inherited the program. I came into it in 2010. It was a few years into production at that point. And the first time I saw the program laid out, the schedule for it and so on, and when the decisions and points were going to be, the question I asked, and I'm going to quote myself, who's running this program, the government or Lockheed Martin? That's a quote from 2010.
I think you have your answer, Mr. Secretary.
And we set
Lockheed
up the
Martin
program, and it was originally set up under a philosophy of management called total system performance, which essentially gave to the prime contractor complete control of the program. We did not acquire the intellectual property to allow the government to come in and step in and control the program.
It sounds like we
are still fighting that problem today.
Well, right, but that is such important testimony for us to hear. Every member of the committee heard that. The government isn't running this program. Lockheed Martin's running this program.
That was a question I asked.
Well, it sounds like you got the answer. What's the answer to the question, Mr. Secretary? Because only 29% of them are operationally capable.
We took a lot of steps to try to get that under control. I once imposed a production contract on Lockheed. I dictated a price to them because we couldn't get a negotiation done. I did a unilateral contract. Let them take me to court if they wanted to. They chose not to. Put in place program managers who were very firm with the contractor and insisted on performance. We've had some conversations with the current head of the JPO, and we've had conversations with the CEO of Lockheed.
I appreciate those conversations. I've always found you to be the truth teller. You're always very honest with the committee and straightforward. The problem is the tail here is wagging the dog, and it's not going to get better unless there's accountability for the fact that their planes don't fly. I yield back.
Gentleman yields back.
Okay, so what is the big problem here? What is the real problem here? You know, we could maybe sit on this for a while. You know, we could probably camp on that question for who knows how long, indefinitely. I bet you most Americans couldn't answer the question. What is really wrong with this? You know, this is kind of a straw man, kind of a red herring argument to keep us away from the fact that the Constitution does not abide this conversation at all. Does not abide a military-industrial complex. I mean, this is entirely beyond the scope of the Constitution. And there have been attempts to square the circle in esoteric fashion, but it's not a thing. So we're not supposed to have a standing military. We're not supposed to have planes and things. And, you know, all this stuff. I mean, it's bad enough, the bilking that is discussed, but, you know, this, there is no basis in the Constitution. Well, you know, we need this, we need that. China's coming to get us. No, China's not coming to get us. All the bad guys at that level are in cahoots with one another. If you don't know that, maybe start by reading Anthony Sutton's work. Just pick up anything that he read. A former Hoover Institution fellow who was asked to excuse himself because he was telling too much of the truth. So, if we think we need these kinds of things, well, then we hear we have a government of, by, and for the people, and therefore that would be the, you know, the remedial action in order would be for those people, said people, to speak through their elected representatives the will of the people. That is to have these things that are referred to as defense, which are really not. You know, and you amend the Constitution appropriately, but the Constitution does not abide the administrative fourth branch. Lawlessness. So, you know, perhaps the most grave issue in this regard that we face is the fact that most people, it just, that point, I think, falls on deaf ears. And I touched on it, what was it, yesterday or the day before? The gun grab, I think it was yesterday. Gun confiscation. Can we just call it what it is? Because agencies at every level now are working in coordinated fashion. If you can wear a badge, then you must be safe. You must be okay. But if you don't have, even if you have a badge, you're definitely still a suspect. But, you know, this is the society we live in. That is the feudalist mindset. Everyone is guilty until proven innocent. And when you live in a society with total surveillance, then total information awareness equals full spectrum dominance. It's you know, Lavrenti Beria's dream. Show me the man, I'll find you the crime. Tell you what, let's just have some fun. Let's pick a, you know, man randomly out of a haystack, and we'll pin the crime on the man. Maybe you could put together Lavrenti Beria with Harvey Silverglatz, three felonies a day in America. They thought they were free. There was a book by that title at one point. And for some reason, maybe this goes together, maybe it doesn't. But I think of John Taylor Gatto. In the Ultimate History Lesson, and you know, more and more, that really is kind of a foundational place for everyone to start. And I am eternally grateful on the regular to Richard Grove for doing that, and for John Taylor Gatto for granting the interview. My understanding was he had a couple of heart attacks right after he completed, right after the weekend that they finished the Ultimate History Lesson, but it really is interesting. So, there's an excerpt from the first hour of the Ultimate History Lesson, hour one, toward the end, and really, we should back up and play a little bit more. There's a bit. I don't know. Maybe we'll play that later. But for now, speaking of wars, you know, as I said yesterday, Congress has not declared war. The Constitution says Congress declares war. When was the last time? Ask the average American that. Are we at war? Oh, yeah, we're, you know, half a dozen wars or more around the world. No, we're not. What do you mean? Well, according to the Constitution, Congress declares war. Well, yeah, but you know what? Trillions of dollars and many lives later. Details, really? Anyway, without further ado, John Taylor Gatto regarding war. Listen to what he says about war. Go ahead, please.
Other than a rhetorical concern with one another. I mean, obviously, there are many individual exceptions to that. But the government clearly has no such concern. We have evolved an economy that depends upon constant warfare. And even though it was stretching it in Iraq and Afghanistan, when those are over, we must have another conflict. We're going to have to stretch it even further, and maybe attack small islands, Fiji maybe, because they represent a menace. Being a child of World War II, the idea of calling something a war where the enemy has no army, navy, air force, intelligence service, where they blow up their feet in their underwear, it just stretches the bounds of the ridiculous to call it a war. But we got an object lesson from a television comedian.
We'll take it. That's enough.
Who said when you?
Yeah. That's it right there in a nutshell. Stick around. We'll be right back after the short break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome back. Oh, golly. You know, that's so good. We got to probably play another excerpt of John Taylor Gatto there Why not, right? I think we have time in this. Let me see if we can, if I can manage to do this. There's one, and then another one would be, if we could back that up maybe slightly. And this will take us pretty much we could just do that, I guess. Right to the edge of the envelope here. Pretty close. This next little bit, I think we should, you know, play the, speaking of war, you know, John Taylor Gatto, we have evolved an economy that depends on constant warfare. And there is a program that doesn't keep us safe. But, you know, these guys know that it's not about keeping us safe because nobody else has these. It's just about the money. Is anybody coming to bomb the United States anytime soon? No, not really. So, a little more of that excerpt. Probably, I don't know, a couple of minutes, 3 minutes. We're running down to the wire now, so. Okay. Go ahead, please.
But we got an object lesson from a television comedian who said, when you fly planes into a building, it certainly shows you have courage. And that was temporarily the end of his career. You do not speak in opposition to the main force driving events. To look at America between, let me roughly say, 1800 and 1865, and then from momentum right up to the First World War, there's this explosion of invention, and it comes from the unlikeliest places. It does not come from university-trained inventors. It comes from everywhere. It's the way people saw the world around them. They saw this world, the elements, the raw material. They processed it a slightly different way, and then they had the expands the rhetorical capacity to say, hey, look, there's a better way to do this. It was happening so frequently that a crisis occurred in capitalism. And without understanding this crisis, you really can't understand why our schools are the product of the Rockefeller family, the Carnegie family, the Astor family, the Vanderbilt family, the great capitalist families. They understood that the real problem in successful capitalism is assembling capital, getting people to give you their savings on the promise that you'll give them more back. But if you have people in an inventive matrix who can look at the way the expensive business is doing things, open up across the street and either do it cheaper or better, or simply open up somewhere else where no one is doing it.
Are you picking up on
capital
this
laying down? Is always a great risk.
A short break.
So, oddly enough, I don't want to claim credit for what really is a brilliant insight.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilajit, FactBit number 2. In Ayurvedic pharmacology, Shilajit is the king, Raja Yoga Vahayana. Raja Yana is one of the comprehensive disciplines of Ayurveda. It comprises of specialized uses of herbal minerals to achieve the optimum state of health. Raja Yana is a path to achieve homeostasis and thus retarding the process of aging and the prevention of diseases. Shilajit stands alone as the king herbal mineral over all other earth-made substances. Within Raja Yana, Shilajit is the ultimate substance that improves quality of plasma and blood. Thus, it strengthens and promotes health to all tissues of the body. Legit Shilajit, like Colorado Shilajit, is as the literal Sanskrit translation implies. Shilajit is the conqueror of mountains and the destroyer of weakness.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
One is good, two is better, three is probably great, and maybe four. I don't know. Maybe we'll do another one too, but I want to do one more clip from this, backing up slightly from where we went out so that he can explain what he's saying. And, you know, back up or validate his reckless statement, as he says, to tell us where we're at and what is to be done, dear comrades. The education system is a mess. It's a mess. People don't understand. I mean, I dare say, you know, we've gotten to such a place now. The horror of the first clip that we played of the congressional testimony earlier this week about the F-35 program. Does it even register for most people? They don't even know what the concern is, which gets back to ideas have consequences. The effective nominalization of the general public. I assure you that there are some people who know that it matters in profound ways. And there's a much larger agenda at work here. But I would say, you know, we've gone from nominalization to atomization, where our pieces are so broken apart, you know. We certainly don't have the foundation on which to establish an effective resistance. And I talked about this a little bit yesterday. It shouldn't have to Renee's point, to, you know, some of the conversation that we're having yesterday. You know, I'm thinking of Renee's points, Lynn's points in particular. It shouldn't be emotional. Either we have it or we have not. The Constitution does not abide the conversation of congressional testimony that we played to begin today's broadcast. The Constitution does not abide it. If that's a problem, well then, that's a conversation of a different nature. But don't you think it's interesting? You know, we've talked about, I mentioned Larry sending me the Joe Bannister clip, you know, we're all good Americans, and Clayton Morris interviews him over at Redacted, Joe Bannister. And so, you know, again, like I said the other day, I think of Joe Bannister from the days before he had gray hair, when he's interviewed on mainstream local news. You know, how have you gotten away with not paying your taxes? He says, I've not gotten away with anything. Well, then what is the situation? The situation, as he explained, is the absence of the law. Is there a law? There is a compulsion to do a thing that's voluntary, that through sophistry, essentially, gives the impression that we're supposed to do this thing. And it's interesting that bad guys don't seem to have a problem leaving the rest of us on the hook for certain things because of our ignorance, which is no excuse of the law, as they say. Imagine what would happen if we weren't ignorant. I wonder why these things were pushed through in a certain kind of way and it didn't get all the way through and those sleeping dogs were left to lie. Because if the truth came out, if people started reading The Law That Never Was, or listening to guys like Joe Bannister, or listening to people like John Taylor Gatto, and actually had a spine and some resolve and maybe a bit of collective resolve, perhaps even, not that that's a thing necessarily, one person might say, hold on a second, not in a crazy hand-waving sort of fashion, but show me in the Constitution where I've read it from back to front. I am familiar with the discussion that laid the groundwork for this, that we're told anyway. I don't see any justification for this. Where is it? Well, you know, I'm not a constitutional scholar. Maybe the question should be, why not? This is the basis on which we are governed. The hard reality is, at some point, we have to take responsibility. If things are not going well, maybe the first question is, have I done all I can do? Glenn in Philly says, have I done anything, actually, is the real question. I am inclined to agree. Have we done anything? What have we done? While very wealthy, powerful, influential folks are having, you know, a stable of lawyers draft legislation at places like the American Legislative Exchange Council, and then handing that to lobbyists to hand that to people who are effectively in the employ of certain folks. We've had a caste system in this society that we just don't want to talk about since the beginning, really. And according to folks like Aldous Huxley, that'll continue. There's nothing we can really do about it. But does that mean that we throw our hands up in the air and we do nothing? That's not perhaps the best course for posterity, I would say. And now I think we all kind of feel, we sense, if we don't feel it or see it on the horizon, the impending consequences of our apathy and indolence for generations now. Before I go further, I think we'll offer the prayer and then we'll get back to another clip. The crisis of capitalism and why schools are under Rockefeller Carnegie control. Not just Rockefeller Carnegie, but you know, that was the original impulse. And the forcible conversion to a corporate economy, a planned economy. Man, if you don't, our perspective is all wrong. We're all getting the Native American treatment in America these days. If you're not part of some elite, if you're not part of the conversation that traces its lineage directly back to the Revolutionary War or something like that, then, as bad guys like to say, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu, that kind of thing. The fun, goofy things they say. That's where we're at, I dare say. And I think it's time to really start speaking the truth. If it's not too late already, and it probably is, but, speaking the truth lovingly, calmly. Very curious about, maybe there could be a revival in interest in the Constitution. This was a bulwark for precisely this kind of thing. It can't happen here except when it does. And it's been happening for a long, long time. It's interesting the dates that Gatto mentions. The nature of early America's economy around 1800 to, let me say, 1865. Something was going on really throughout that entire time. There was a press to fracture the republic and do other fun stuff. Anyway, before we continue on, the prayer, Matthew 6 and Ephesians 6, respectively, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, its powers, against the worldly governors, princes of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness which are in the high places, Matthew 6 and Ephesians 6, the Lord's Prayer and the full armor of God, respectively. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, take up the sword of the Spirit, and pray at all times in the Spirit. I pray no weapon formed against the righteous shall prosper, that all who walk in error would come to know the truth in Christ. Please reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness. I pray unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice, wickedness be brought swiftly to an end, righteousness be restored in the land, and poisonous trees and their offshoots like brands and agencies conceived in malice would collapse under the weight of their own evil, or perhaps be cut down and cast into the fire, because you can't prune evil. To prune something makes it more prolific. In Jesus' name, amen. So, without further ado, I think we probably should get to the third installment of John Taylor Gatto, The Crisis of Capitalism. And you have to understand this to understand what happened in the schools. Can we do that, please?
Yes, in a slightly different way. And then they had the expanse, the rhetorical capacity to say, hey, look, there's a better way to do this. It was happening so frequently that a crisis occurred in capitalism. And without understanding this crisis, you really can't understand why our schools are the product of the Rockefeller family, the Carnegie family, the Astor family, the Vanderbilt family, the great capitalist families. They understood that the real problem in successful capitalism is assembling capital, getting people to give you their savings on the promise that you'll give them more back. But if you have people in an inventive matrix who can look at the way the expensive business is doing things, open up across the street and either do it cheaper or better, or simply open up somewhere else where no one is doing it, capital is always at great risk. So, oddly enough, I don't want to claim credit for what really is a brilliant insight, but I want to claim credit. It was openly discussed, let me say, from 1880 to 1900. We were being forcibly converted from an economy of small farmers, small engineers, entrepreneurs, into a corporate economy. And these men doing it, they weren't intellectual dumbcoffs. They could see that as long as the American inventiveness was loose like a wild beast, they were going to have a lot of trouble pulling cash. Someone would say, but I saw, you know, Jack, and he went belly up. So Prussian schooling, which had, for a different reason, had been out to destroy the imagination. And let me say to anyone listening to this, when someone makes a reckless statement like that, you make sure they can document it, and I will document it as long as you're willing to walk to your local public library, because in every public library worth its salt in the United States and in every college library, you will find a collection of essays by a Prussian philosopher, Johann Fichte, who was the immediate heir to the University of Berlin's philosophy department, which had been under Immanuel Kant. Fichte wrote a series of, it was over a dozen public essays to the Prussian king from, let me say, 1808 to about 1818. They're called Addresses to the German Nation. And the provocative event that set the first one off was the Prussian army, which was the Prussian economy, renting soldiers, stealing other people's stuff, had been whipped by Napoleon's amateur army at the Battle of Jena in 1806. And Fichte said it was because this demon imagination was loose among ordinary soldiers, and in situations they would override the orders from headquarters about what to do, and that's why we lost. Now, what should fascinate anyone listening is that's exactly what the so-called liberal philosopher Spinoza.
Yeah. We'll break and then we'll probably have to conclude. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
We'll be right back.
How appropriate. How appropriate. So we started out with a clip about, you know, the United States war machine, and there you go. A Top Gun homage. So one more clip. It's basically the end of hour one anyway, and I think we can go out. You have to understand who's in charge, who decides. Yeah, this is it. So go ahead, please.
Course about what to do, and that's why we lost. Now, what should fascinate anyone listening is that's exactly what the so-called liberal philosopher Spinoza in Holland had said in 1690 in a book called Tractatus Politico Religico-Politicus, Tractatus Religico-Politicus. Spinoza said that the ordinary population was so psychologically diseased, murderously so, there was no way to heal it. Just as Fichte, 125 years later, said there was no way to heal the disobedience gene in people who thought for themselves. Fichte said we have to set up a system of forced schooling, universal forced schooling, in which we destroy the imagination. Bells, ordered lessons, constant testing, rankings. Now, if it were only those two major figures, but you now can go back a few hundred years in history to John Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion, which is this thick, tiny print. But if you ever go mad and actually force yourself to read it, rather than to read what an encyclopedia tells you it says, you'll find that Calvin says that the saved are saved before they're born. The damned, who are 19 to 1, are damned before they're born, and no amount of good work or behavior can save the damned, and no amount of evil behavior can damn the saved. The expression that used to be pretty common, but has vanished, I think on purpose, is justified sinners. The saved are justified sinners who can do anything. They can carpet bomb civilian populations, whether they're Nazis or Americans. You know, you've done no harm, according to Calvin. Calvin said the only way the elect, he called the saved, the elect will be ever be saved because they're outnumbered so heavily, is to set up a system of universal compulsion schooling with the intention of destroying the imagination and filling the head with garbage. Spinoza said the same thing. Fichte said the same thing.
There you go. And perfect. Absolutely perfect. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.